Okay. Motzei Shabbat, the Ashkenazim amongst us here will begin stating Slichot. His Sfardim are here. Usually they're probably more tired than the rest of us. And I want to talk about a little bit about some of the themes of Slichot as a way of talking about Tshuva and relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu as a whole. There's a major, major controversy, I referenced this a couple of times in different shirim this week, over the nature of what types of petitionary prayers we're allowed to do in Slichot, right? Slichot is ultimately petitionary prayers, we call it, right? We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, for Rachamim, we'll discuss it a little bit more as we go along. And there are a couple of very controversial prayers in general which we say, which are basically prayers that are directed towards God, right? I mean, we acknowledge that God is the source of the priesthood we should pray to, but use angels as intermediaries. And they're basically prayers to ask angels to bring our tefillah to God. And the question is this theologically acceptable or not? Or is this apikoursis? Okay. Straight up, and that's what's at stake here, right? There are a number of gemarot that seem to indicate that our prayers should be should be written or spoken in a way that would facilitate helping the angels bring them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, there are a number of tefillot, which you find the way into Slichot, the most famous of which is Machnisei Rachamim. The most famous because it's said every single night of Slichot. So it really matters, this one, okay? And it reads as follows. Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisi Rachamenu. O you who usher in pleas for mercy, may you usher in our plea for mercy, Lithnei Bala Rachamim, before the Master of Mercy. In other words, you, right, should bring our pleas for mercy to the Master of Mercy. I mean, there's acknowledgement. It's not saying that God isn't the ultimate master, but we want some sort of intermediary to bring things up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashmiei Tfila, Hashmiu Tfilatenu, O you who cause prayer to be heard, may you cause our prayer to be heard, Lithnei Shomea Tfila. Mashmiya tzaka, shmiya tzakatenu, fei shmiya tzaka, etc., etc. Okay, and it goes on to say, hishtadlu v'harbu tchinu v'kasha, exert yourselves and multiply supplication, petition before the King God, etc., etc. Okay, so the question is this appropriate or not? Okay, obviously the person who wrote this tefillah thought it was very appropriate, and thought it was a very good idea to have to ask for angelic assistance, so to speak. Right, that's for angels to be intermediaries to bring things up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rambam states quite clearly in the fifth of his Ikarim that this is apikoursis. And the Rambam states there's only one God to be worshipped, and moreover, there should be no intermediaries. Okay? And he seemingly cites no stars, no angels, nothing, right? You just stand and you pray, you worship, and you pray worship to God. Nothing in between. Okay? The Ramban also says something similar as well, and it's based on a very fascinating Yerushalmi. In my mind, a very significant Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi discusses a comparison and says, what's the difference between man when it's going for a ruler and man standing for the ruler of all rulers, or the King of Kings? He said, well, you know, if you're a regular citizen, you've got a problem, wherever it is in your job, so you go to the assistant, you go to the chief of staff, you go to the secretary, right? It's a whole process in order to get what's going on in your mind up to the, to the head. And as opposed to, the Yerushalmi says, "Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu eino ken." It doesn't work this way with God. Im bal adam sara, if a person has some trouble, lo yitzavech lo l'michael v'lo l'gavriel, shouldn't scream out to Gavriel and Michael, ela li yitzavech v'ani onel lo miyah. But Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu says, come straight to the boss. Come straight to me. Okay? And based on this notion, Yerushalmi, other things, right, many sages, Chachamim, Gedolim, throughout the generations, thought one should not say Machnisei Rachamim. By the way, the same issue would apply to the issues of Barchuni L'Shalom, for example, on Friday night. Barchuni L'Shalom is also problematic for that reason. The Gura of Chaim V'Loshin didn't say it. I don't say it for that reason as well, right? Not the Lahavdil, right? But same type of the issue as in many other prayers. Many Gedol Yisrael for that reason did not say Machnisei Rachamim and thought it should be taken out of the sinner. Others defended it greatly. And sort of in the 19th and 20th centuries, you have a sort of trend of saying, listen, this has been around for a while, so don't take it out of the sinner. Right? And people decide for themselves, or communities decide for themselves, or people will do whatever they do. Okay? Now, today I see actually a trend, I think actually a disturbing trend, that people are starting to say it more and more often, and that's for a very different reason. Anyone know why? Because there's a nigger. And we all know at the end of Slichas, what do we need in life? A good nigger. I mean, come on, let's admit it. After 30 minutes, you know exactly what you want. And that's a good song. And Mordechai ben David has a beautiful song. It's not actually originally his, but he's popularized it. And you know what I'm talking about? Machni Sera. I'm not going to sing now. I'll sing later. I'm still not going to sing that song. But in any case, I'll explain to you why. But that's been very popular. My personal opinion on this, and I want to explain why and lead into a general approach to Slichos, is that Machni Sera, I mean, with kol hakavod to the important Gedolim and whatnot who said it and believed in it, but I'm with the Rambam here 100%. Right? Machni Sera, I mean, shouldn't be said. And for a very important reason. The Rambam has a couple of philosophical questions on this. Right? The Rambam basically says, listen, it's illogical. Why is it illogical? Because angels don't have free will. So what do you need them for? Right? What are they doing? What are they accomplishing? If you deserve for your prayers to be heard, so God will hear your prayers. And if not, nah. But the angels aren't going to do anything. They have no free will. So what's the whole point here? It's a very powerful argument. And seemingly, why, when you have to ask, why would someone be attracted to having intermediaries? Why would someone want to have an angel in the middle? What's pulling them? Is something existential which is bringing them to that? I think the answer to that is basically saying, well, people feel, lowly and unworthy, and they want help. And there's a certain sense of believing that the angels of Hamalachim can help you out. Right? Because who are you for God to hear your prayers? But the angels maybe can give you a little bit of a push, give you a little bit of an assist. I understand that sentiment, that feeling of unworthiness, the feeling of shame, the thinking that one cannot have their prayers to stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu and actually think that he's going to hear them out. But it's precisely that type of sentiment and that type of feeling which the Rambam is so against. And what the Rambam is stating is that no matter how unworthy you feel, no matter how troubled you are, you don't need anyone else. You don't need help from tzaddikim, you don't need help from gravesites, you don't need from malachim, nothing. Right? You stand for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, something happens to you, and you call it to God, and he can answer. No need for intermediaries, no how lowly you feel. No how rough matters might be in life. No matter how helpless the situation might seem, you stand for Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mano to God, not Mano, but Mano to God, right? And say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. And in many ways, that feeling and sentiment, right, of shame on the one hand, but being able to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu on the other and having it, and, him listen to it, is a central theme of Slichos as a whole. If you think about it, right, what do we say in Slichos all the time? What are the two major themes of Slichot? Right? So I would say, right, that if I had two major themes, one obviously is Rachamim, right? And obviously therefore we have the Yugim of the Rachamim, right? And the second theme, which I don't think people always are sensitive to, right, is shame. If you look in the Slichot, right, it's everywhere. Right, how do we begin every night? Lecha Hashem tzedaka v'lanu boshet hapanim. Let's set the scene. We are ashamed. We are embarrassed. Okay, and the theme constantly, one time after another, of all the slichot, right, it's constantly that we feel shamed, we're not worthy, and therefore, why is the second theme one of mercy? Because we're saying, we're not worthy, we're ashamed, but please help us anyway. And we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, right, we are embarrassed. Shame. Now, shame is a very interesting feeling. Think about it. By the way, I think for the reasons that we say shame so often, I think it's one of the reasons that sometimes Slichos, unfortunately, can get a little bit feeling of weariness, tedious a little bit sometimes. We have to be miskabra over that sentiment. And the reason why is because you're basically saying many times over and over again, right? Shame. The same sentiment, by the way, happens also in Tachanun, particularly on Monday and Thursdays. something we have to be sensitive to, but right, the idea here is that shame, right, is something important. Now, if one wants to supplicate before a Kodesh Baruch Hu, want to ask for rachamim, first you have to be embarrassed by something. First you have to feel shame. Shame is a very difficult thing. In modern society, you know, people don't promote shame. Right? That's not a sentiment, right? That is one which is advocated. A, because people feel a sense of that's unhealthy, right? It ruins one's confidence, doesn't allow one to overcome. And secondly, there's certain sentiments sometimes of saying, you know, I have nothing to be ashamed about. I do what I do, right? I have no one I have to be accountable to. Right? Shame is a challenge trait. And precisely because of that, slichus become only more and more meaningful in our time. Of forcing us to acknowledge and stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu and say night after night, over and over again, we are ashamed. So what exactly is shame? Now, if you think about what's the first case of a person being ashamed ever? Adam, right? Sin. Sin leads to shame. Okay? And of course, what happens at that moment? Adam is embarrassed and therefore, right? He hides. Tries to run away, so to speak. Kodesh Baruch Hu calls him on it. What's the second sin? Right? Kain and Havel. And what happens there? No shame. But both of those, right, are inappropriate reactions. Because on the one hand, you could have the feeling of no shame, I'm not accountable for anything. Right? Am I my brother's keeper? No shame. Which is, of course, terrible. On the other hand, you can have the opposite extreme, which is shame, to the point of which you feel like you have to hide. You can't stand before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Two models of response to sin, one where shame becomes paralyzing, and one where a person doesn't have shame at all. And neither of them are the correct. Neither of them are the correct model. Right? What exactly is it that Slichos is trying to accomplish here? Is saying on the one hand, yes, I am ashamed. Why am I ashamed? Because I've realized I've sinned. I realize that I've done something against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I've realized I have not met my potential. I've realized I've wasted time. I've realized I've caused a chasm, a gap between myself and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the phenomenon of slichot, of saying it, makes one recognize that to whom? Not just to oneself, but also to stand for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. To force that encounter and say, yes, I'm encountering God. I feel shame for what I have done. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm coming back. I want you to take me back. I want to do what it takes for you to take me back. A sense of saying on the one hand, yes, I know I am not worthy because what I've done is wrong. But nonetheless, I want to be in the game still. I'm not going to run like Adam. Nor am I going to hide from the fact that I did something wrong. But rather, I'm going to stand before you, God, and say, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed. I have sinned. I'm going to do vidui. I'm going to confess. And I'm going to walk away from this, though, asking you, having asked you for rachamim, believing in the power of tshuva. Believing in the power of grace. Of kapara of atonement. One of the challenges of Elul, which Slichos is trying to help facilitate, right? The challenge of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, right, is getting us to recognize for ourselves what we have to be embarrassed about. What it is exactly that we're ashamed of. To get us to go about and do a Cheshbon HaNefesh and think about all of those things, right, that we could have done and should have done and would have done had not been for X, Y, and Z, but didn't do. And to peel away all of the excuses, and to peel away all of the elements, right, and the barriers of us acknowledging what it is that we're responsible for, and who it is that we're accountable to, and to say, we have boshet, we have shame. It is not, therefore, an easy thing. Right? Tshuva is not an easy thing in that sense. Because the first stage here is recognizing, wow, I have something to be embarrassed about. Right? No one likes being embarrassed. And certainly no one likes to be embarrassed by something that they did. Right? Shame, genuine shame, right? Of standing and say, V'lanu boshet apanim, right? If we actually mean what we say, right, is a terrible feeling. But it's a healthy one. And it's an important one, and it's an essential one. And all of us have to ask ourselves at this stage of life, whatever stage of life you're in, assuming the stage everyone's in here right now, right? Well, what exactly is it that I have to be ashamed of? What have I done that's been okay or good but could have been better? And what have I done that's been just plain out wrong or bad? Those are two different types of feelings. One is a feeling which is sometimes easier to feel shame about, which is a sentiment of saying, listen, I sinned. I know I did X, Y, and Z thing wrong. Right? Whether it's Ben Adam L'Chavero or Ben Adam L'Makom. Right? Or something I saw, something I said, something I did. Right? In all the realms of life. But in many ways, that's much easier to feel shame about it. Because right? You know, you did something wrong. God told me to do X, I did Y. There's also a sense, though, of shame, which is harder to feel. A shame of saying of wasted potential. Of saying, wow, right? I'm not so bad, right? I'm okay. There's nothing that's per se wrong. But what else could I have been? What could I have accomplished? What are all the things that I could have been learning and thinking about and doing as I watch SportsCenter 5 times in a row? What are all the things, right, that I should have been doing and thinking about and trying to develop myself into? Right? Instead, I was focused on all sorts of silly things, meaningless things. Not even bad things, just like meaningless things. How are my priorities misplaced? How did I scoff at others who tried to push me to do something more with my life, do something more with myself, and I didn't take advantage of that? Not a sin. Not something wrong, per se. Bad, evil. Just a missed opportunity. You know, it's very interesting. We usually think of tshuva as what? As repentance for sin. But if you look in the writings of modern, you know, 20th century, really, philosophers, including Rav Kook or Soloveitchik, when they talk about repentance, they're not talking about necessarily repentance from a sin. They're talking about repentance from a distance from God. Repentance from mistakes. Right? Repentance is an act here of just redefining who one is. Or going back to one, going according to Rav Kook, defining oneself, going back to what one could be, to one's true identity, or according to Rav Soloveitchik, to creating a new identity. But in either case, it's not always just a response to sin. It's just a response to the fact that I could have had a different identity. I could be something different, and I haven't done it. I have a certain sense of shame of the fact, not because, right, I'm sitting there and clapping chet, right, clapping al chet because, right, I did all these bad things, but simply because I could have done so many good things and I didn't do that. And I'm honored to be shamed before Kodesh Baruch Hu for that as well. That's tshuva. And it's coming on slichos and every single night, which is hard. It's hard not because only, right, that's late at night. You know, if you're excited about it, of that feeling, of that sentiment, would not be so difficult to be at 12:30 at night. And to get up early for it, whatever it might be. Right? But something, because it's very dreadful. There's nothing exciting about staying for God and having to be embarrassed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Except for the fact That's the most amazing opportunity. Tshuva is a gift. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows us, on the one hand, to recognize what we've done wrong. Not to say we have nothing to be accountable to. No, we can be accountable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to recognize we have sinned. But also not to be so embarrassed to the point where you're unable to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say to Him, take me back. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm embarrassed. But please have rachamim on me anyway. Slichos in this time period of the year is a unique opportunity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And particularly at a formative age in which you're all at a formative stage when people are starting to realize that there's something greater to aspire for, that the term Avodat Hashem means something in a very central way to who they are and to their identity. The time right now is to start thinking about not only about what I've done wrong, but what I could have done better. What I could have been aspiring for all this time and haven't been. And now saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm embarrassed by that fact. But now, you know what? I'm aspiring. I'm aspiring to be something greater. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachamim on me. Because I'm embarrassed, but I'm back. So please take me back. I'm aspiring. I know what's real. Kivav chitma tova.